Translation. Once in the holy place, in the forest of Naimisharanya, great sages headed by the sage Shonaka assembled to perform a great thousand-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The prelude of the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in the previous three shlokas. Now the main topic of this great literature is being presented. Srimad Bhagavatam, after its first recitation by Srila Sukadev Goswami, was repeated for the second time at Naimisharanya. In the Vaivaya Tantra, it is said that Brahma, the engineer of this particular universe, contemplated a great wheel which could enclose the universe. The hub of this great circle was fixed at a particular place known as Naimisharanya. Similarly, there is another reference to the forest of Naimisharanya in the Varaha Purana, where it is stated that by the performance of sacrifice at this place, the strength of demoniac people is curtailed. Thus Brahmanas prefer Naimisharanya for such sacrificial performances. The devotees of Lord Vishnu offer all kinds of sacrifices for his pleasure. The devotees are always attached to the service of the Lord, whereas fallen souls are attached to the pleasure of material existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that anything performed in the material world for any reason other than the pleasure of Lord Vishnu causes further bondage for the performer. It is enjoined, therefore, that all acts must be performed sacrificially for the satisfaction of Vishnu and his devotees. This will bring everyone peace and prosperity. The great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general. And as such, the sages headed by Shonak and others assembled at this holy place of Naimisharanya with the program of performing a great and continuous chain of sacrificial ceremonies. Forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. However, the sages know it well, and therefore, for the good of all men, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. They are sincere friends to all living entities, and at the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of all people. Lord Vishnu is just like a great tree, and all others, including the demigods, men, siddhas, charanas, vidyadharas, and other living entities, are like branches, twigs, and leaves of that tree. By pouring water on the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree are automatically nourished. Only those branches and trees which are detached cannot be satisfied. Detached branches and leaves dry up gradually despite all watering attempts. Similarly, human society, when it is detached from the personality of Godhead, like detached branches and leaves, is not capable of being watered, and once attempting to do so is simply wasting his energy and resources. The modern materialistic society is detached from its relationship to the Supreme Lord, and all its plans, which are being made by atheistic leaders, are sure to be baffled at every step. Yet they do not wake up to this. And the final paragraph. In this age, the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the prescribed method for waking up. The ways and means are most scientifically presented by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and intelligent persons take advantage of this, of his teachings, in order to bring about real peace and prosperity. Srimad Bhagavatam is also presented for the same purpose, and this will be explained more specifically later in the text. Srila Prabhupada ki. And you go. It's a whole summary of the Bhagavatam there. One go there. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpadrubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Vayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavindaki. Praying for all the blessings of all the Vaishnavas here to say something relevant, something in keeping with Prabhupada's tradition on the Bhagavatam. I want to welcome Sundaralal here. He gave class yesterday. Everyone knows Sundaralal Prabhu. From Mauritius, he's just spent 6 weeks in France preaching a much needed place, book distribution, Harinams, and so on. Because in Mauritius they speak French, so he could go there and speak French to everyone. So that was wonderful. He's on the sannyas list, 2 years to go. So in 2 years he'll be taking sannyas as well. So that's part of the mission. They have to go to other places where... And Sutta Prabhu has gone to Nigeria and Ghana. And he said the first challenge is that there's no electricity. So, you know, any program you have, whatever, the electricity goes off or whatever. And he said second challenge is the water, you know, to find clean water every day. So you begin with those challenges, he says, and then you have to go on to others. So he's there. Wonderful verse here, and really the verses before have been glorifying the Bhagavatam. Famous theologian, writer, Ralph Waldo Emerson, when he read the Bhagavatam, he said, "It is a book to be read on one's knees." That's really interesting. You know, you have to go on your knees because it's so lofty. So heavy with philosophy, and equally you have to be submissive to it. So that was just Emerson speaking on the Bhagavatam. So as Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, that it's a narration within a narration, that Sukadev Goswami had spoken to Parikshit Maharaj, and now he's saying that Suta Goswami, who was there, is now speaking to Shonaka Rishi and the sages at Naimasharanya. So it's a narration within a narration. And of course, originally, Vyas is speaking it to Sukadeva. So it's a narration within a narration within a narration. So the main commentaries that Prabhupada uses when he's translating the Bhagavatam, and he'll often say that Sridhar Swami, because he's the main commentator on the Bhagavatam. And that's an important part. If you look at the Bhagavatam, his commentary is the most important. And Prabhupada uses that. And of course, Sanatana Goswami, he writes a summary of the Bhagavatam as well. And you remember that book? Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Yeah, that's a condensed version of the Bhagavatam. That's the purpose of Sanatana Goswami putting that together. But Prabhupada, he makes the Bhagavatam very clear and accessible to all of us. In the Puranas have a story where Lord Brahma, he was trying to see which one book is the summary of everything that we have, because the Vedic literatures are vast, as you all know. So then he had a golden scale, and then on one side of the scale he placed all the other literatures, and you know, hundreds and thousands which are there. It's on the weighing scales. And then he wanted to know which is the one book if you put on the other side the scale tips. So it's equivalent to all the other Vedic literatures. So of course that was the Bhagavatam. That when Brahma placed the Bhagavatam on one side, the scales just tipped. Because it was a summary of everything there is. So that's an interesting little story in the Bhagavatam which is given of the importance of the Bhagavatam. And hence, Prabhupada wanted that the Bhagavatam is recited every morning. And we speak on it. And there are hundreds of verses. Nashta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata seva. Daily. Bhagavati uttama shluki bhaktir bhavati nashtaki. All that is troublesome to the heart immediately becomes removed by daily hearing the Bhagavatam. So, that's why we're all here in the Bhagavatam class in the morning. The other story of the Bhagavatam was that the Bhakti Devi, personification of Bhakti Devi, her two sons, anyone remember the names of her two sons? That story is there. Gyan and Vairagya. They had become very ill. So the pastime is that Narada Muni, who was in this pastime, he notices that the two sons of Bhakti Devi, Gyan and Vairagya, knowledge and detachment, they were very sick. So Bhakti Devi had come to Narada Muni and said, I don't know how to revive them. And this was the beginning of the age of Kali. So Gyan and Vairagya, who were the two sons, say that in the age of Kali, these are the two things which will become devoid. And Mahaprabhu Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, isn't it? Who says, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Siksharatam Eka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharire Dari Kripam Buddhi Yastam Ham Prapadya. That these are Vairagya and Vidya is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to teach. So in this pastime anyway, two sons of Bhakti Devi were very ill. And how do they become revived? Anyone know? Yeah, who came along? Who came to recite? Anyone remember? Four Kumaras. The four Kumaras, they came and they started reciting the Bhagavatam. And Narada Muni, he said, wow, this is how you can revive Gyan and Vairagya. That's the purport of that story, that by daily hearing the Bhagavatam, your knowledge of the personality of Godhead will be revived, and detachment, Vairagya, from all those things that do not foster Krishna consciousness, they will immediately begin to take place in your life. So that's an interesting part of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam has three primary themes, as we know. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. These are the themes within all Vedic literatures. Which are there. And of course, there are 10 subject matters which are there within the Bhagavatam as well, which are given. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Chaitanya Manjusa, it's given the principles that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants us to pay special attention to. And one of them, he says, Srimada Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. So, meaning that that all devotees, Mahaprabhu said, should study the Bhagavatam. Why? Because it is the spotless Purana. So, that's another principle that's given in the importance of the Bhagavatam, which is there within our lives. Sanatana Goswami, of course, he elaborates a bit more on the Bhagavatam and his love for the Bhagavatam, his famous verse, as we know, which is in the Krishna Lila Stava. He gives that famous verse of his great love for the Bhagavatam. He says, Madeka Bandhu, Mat Sangin, Mat Guru, Mat Mahadan, Man Nishtaraka, Mad Bhagya, Mad Ananda Namoshtute, he says. And that means that Srimad Bhagavatam, what it is, Madeka Bandhu, it's my only friend. The Bhagavatam is my only friend. So we have many friends. Sanatana Goswami is saying, it's the only friend. Why? Because a real friend is someone that will tell you where you're at. So the Bhagavatam is in that way. Matsangin, it's my intimate associate. Intimate associate. Madguru, that is my guru. Mad Mahadan, it's my greatest wealth. So people want to look for greatest wealth. This is the great. Man Nishtaraka, it's my deliverer. Mad Bhagya, it's my greatest fortune. And Mad Ananda Namoshtute, it's my only pleasure, my only bliss in life. In today's verse, Prabhupada is beginning to take us to the holy place of Naima Sharanya. Anyone been to Naima Sharanya? Yeah. Janata P has been, anyone else? No? Naima Sharanya? Okay. So, Prabhupada, when he was speaking here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, in 1973, after the installation of Radha Gokulananda, this specific verse came up, and he was speaking on this verse. Confirmed, Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki. And whilst he was speaking on this verse, from that exact place that you see there, he was speaking from there, looking at Radha Gokulananda. He says the following in that transcript. He says, when you go to India, you can see this Naima Sharanya still. It is very nice place. Just like Vrindavan, Prayag, Hardwar, there are hundreds of nice place for spiritual advancement. So this Naima Sharanya is still there. The railway station is now called Nimshar. It is about 100 miles from Lucknow. And people go there. Very excellent position for spiritual advancement. There are many temples like Vrindavan and Prayag and Naima Sharanya. So Prabhupada just gives a little excerpt of Naima Sharanya. I know the Bhakti Vaibhava students went to Naima Sharanya. Because they had to go. They're studying the cantos, the first 6 cantos of the Bhagavatam. So they all had gone to Naima Sharanya just to have a look. In the purport here as well, the interesting line is used, Animisha. And then in brackets, Lord Vishnu, whose eyes are closed. And that's from the Vishnu Sahasranam Stutra, which is also there. The 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. And it says Nimisha and Animisha. The Supreme Lord whose eyes are closed and the Supreme Lord whose eyes are wide open. So both are there. Nimisha and Animisha. So 2 deities come to mind. Anyone remember those deities when we think of that? Jirangam, eyes are closed. Jagannath definitely, isn't it? He has no eyelid. His eyes are always open. His eyes are always open. Why are they always open? So the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra gives all these explanations. Is that because he wants to see that one good thing that his devotee does. He wants to keep them open, wide open. So he wants to have a look. And Animisha, if you go to Tirupati, there's a... His eyes are closed. Many reasons are given because it's so powerful it'll burn the universe. So another reason given is that the Lord, he doesn't want to see the faults of his devotees. So he closes his eyes because he doesn't want to see the faults of his devotees. So that's an interesting thought for us just from that one line of Prabhupada. And of course, in the Krishna book, we all remember that the gopis, they condemned Lord Brahma because of eyelids. They were saying that, why has the Creator done this? Because we simply want to see the Supreme Lord. And because of the eyelids, they're always, of course, the eyelids have to close, as you know, medically. So otherwise, you get some irritation and diseases. But the gopis' desire was that the eyelids are disturbing our meditation on Krishna. And Prabhupada says, this is Krishna consciousness. That when the gopis' eyes were closed, they found it intolerable that they could not see Krishna. He said, this is Krishna consciousness. It's interesting to think of that. This is the perfection of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, that when the eyelids do not close and we only see Krishna. And the gopis, they had it. And then Prabhupada says that in the spiritual world, there is no closing of the eyes. There's no closing of the eyes. Of course, we close our eyes, and some of us close them for too long as well. And especially on a Sunday, there's a big line for most people. They close their eyes. But Prabhupada is here condemning closing of the eyes altogether. The principle of not closing the eyes, all of these things, is that how is it that we can advance in Krishna consciousness? That's really the idea. And you know, the month of Kartik is upon us, and these are good times. Sanan, as we know, in Rupa Goswami, he mentions, of the 64 items, one of the items he mentions is Urjavrat, that within the 64 items, you can observe the month of Kartik, performing our devotional service within the month of Kartik. And the devotional service that we perform in the month of Kartik, he says, is called Niyama Sevana, that we perform our devotion in this month of Kartik. So it's one of the 64 items that we have. And Sanatana Goswami, he puts some very simple things you could do in the month of Kartik. He says, rise early. So rise early could mean different things to different people. Depends what time you get up. Rising early, bathing, and then he says worshipping the Lord. Worshipping the Lord. And that's when he says you worship the Lord with a lamp. And there are many stories of benedictions of offering a lamp in the month of Kartik, but he's specifically saying you worship the Lord with a lamp. And he says you should worship Tulsi in this month, you should worship the cows, you should worship and serve the Vaishnavas. So Sanatana Goswami summarizes it like that. And when Prabhupada was asked about Kartik and vows and vratas, he said, you should simply chant Hare Krishna. And then someday, I think it was Gurudas, he asked him, should we not sleep? Because Sanatana Goswami says, don't sleep at night. All of these vratas, as Prabhupada says, no sleeping. No eating, just chanting Hare Krishna. But can you do? And he said, no. So he said, just chant Hare Krishna more. So of course, Prabhupada wanted us to always chant. So that's a good vow always to take, Kartik. He had originally asked all of us to do 64 rounds. Has anyone ever chanted 64 rounds here? Yeah, it's blissful, isn't it, when you do 64 rounds. It takes some time if you haven't done it. It means you have to put that as a priority. So whether you chant 64 rounds in Kartik or go up to 17 or 18, whatever it is, 25, it's always a good thing to do. And of course, within the month of Kartik, the famous conversation is there, which Narada Muni is describing, Satyavrat Muni, Narada Muni, and they're describing the pastime of Krishna being bound. So what Satyavrat Muni did was that he realized there are three powerful things in bhakti. The first powerful thing in bhakti is prayer. Because prayer moves the heart. It comes from the heart. So prayer is a very important thing. So Satyavrat Muni, he put prayer. And then the next thing is, because he's a Muni, he was a poet as well. So he said poetry is a very wonderful thing. Because that also moves the heart. And the final thing, very important in bhakti, Satyavrata Muni speaks of, is song. Because songs can really move the mind, the heart, isn't it? They remind you of so many things. All religious traditions, they sing, they have songs. So he put the three together, prayer, poetry, and song, and he put it into eight standas, or ashtikas, and they became known as the Damodara Ashtika. So that's Satyavrata Muni reminding us that in the month of Damodara, we can recite these eight verses to bind Krishna. Somehow or the other, how can we bind Krishna? So by simply reciting those verses. So we can even do that. Prabhupada in the purport is mentioning atheistic leaders. They do not take to this. There was a big professor in MIT, I think a few years back, and his name was Gerald Sushman. So Gerald Sushman, he was giving a lecture, and he told and he announced to his audience, he said, "My dear ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to announce that we are the last generation to die." He said, because science is advancing so much that from the next generation onwards, no one will die. And the audience all clapped and applauded. So the MIT professor, he's a great professor, you can look him up. But you know, we here sitting in the Bhagavatam are not impressed by that statement. That we have very good news for you that this is the last generation to die. The same statement, if you remember, was made millions of years ago by another MIT professor perhaps. I'm not sure, but Mr. Hiranyakashipu, he said the same thing. And he also said that I will escape death as well. But you know, if you think about it, Prabhupada is again and again in the Bhagavatam, he'll speak about that a rich man cannot bribe death. A beautiful woman cannot seduce death. A strong man cannot wrestle death. And an intelligent man cannot debate with death. As they say in America, as sure as taxes, one of the American leaders had said, death and taxes are two sure things you can be certain of. And finally, concluding here, Prabhupada at the end is saying, Samam Ashata, which means that they were performing a sacrifice for 1,000 years. How is that? Of course, that's because people in Satya Yuga, they were living for 100,000 years. Treta Yuga, 10,000 years. So this is Treta Yuga. If you live 10,000 years, 1,000 years, you can perform sacrifice. So that's what they were doing. As the Bhagavatam reminds us, prayeno payusha shabya kalo ashmin yuga janaha manda sumanda matiyo manda bhagya hi upadrutaha, that we have short lifespan in this age of Kali. Manda, we're lazy. Sumanda matiyo, misguided, quarrelsome. Manda bhagya, not very fortunate, and he upadruta, always disturbed. These are the symptoms of the age of Kali. And Prabhupada, of course, then he concludes that the age of Kali, the yajna, is the sankirtan yajna, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So that is, we haven't got 1,000 years to perform these yajnas. We're not going to Naimisharanya. So what are we going to do? We're going to chant the holy name of Krishna. That is the real yajna. The Sankirtan Yajna, and whether it's Japa, which is the holy name, whether it's Harinam here in the Temporum, the Kirtan that we have, or it's the Harinam on the streets, these are all the principles of bhakti which are given in the age of Kali, how to deliver others. Of course, when we take it out, it's called Sankirtan. We take it out so others will benefit. It's the benefit, as Govinda Prabhu, we know, is the champion of that. How to take it out from the temporum to the street so other people, other living entities will hear. And it's that great conversation with Haridas Thakur, How will other living entities be benefited through the chanting of the holy name? So whoever's there, the cats, dogs, the ants, whoever's there, they'll all benefit simply by the chanting of the holy name. So that's perhaps something in Kartik we can all do. Go out and chant the holy names. Go on Harinam. Chant a japa better. Be here for the temple kirtan. These are things you can do. And just ending on, I looked up Naimasharanya just now, this morning, just to find out. I've been there myself. I do remember it. And there's a huge wheel there, if you go. It's a tank like a wheel. And there are many, many stories of Naimasharanya. It's the place where Lord Vishnu, he killed a demon by the name of Durjaya. Durjaya. And so that comes from that side. And it's also said that he killed another demon by the name of Gaya Sura with his Sudarshan Chakra. And the body was cut into three pieces. And it went to three different places, that body. One of the places is here at Naimasharanya, Nabi Gaya. And hence Naimasharanya is known as Nabi Gaya. It's one of the Gayas. Then there's Gaya Kshetra. It's one part of the body went there. That's in Bihar. And the final one is called Kapila Gaya. That's in Badrik Kshetra. So with the onset of the universe, the Puranas tell the story of how the saints and sages, they went to see Brahma. And they had three questions for him. The first one is, which is the ideal place we can go to for uninterrupted meditation? The second question, a place which will liberate one from all the difficulties and the sins. And the third question they had, place where one can get divine knowledge for performing spiritual rites for the welfare of all humanity. So Lord Brahma, after hearing these three requests, he said, which place could it be? So then he sent his disc. He also has a disc called Manomaya Chakra. So he has a disc. And he directed it to the earth. And he said, follow this place. And wherever this chakra lands, this is the place where all these three items that you're looking for, they'll be there. And of course, it lands here and at that place. And that's why it gets the name Naimasharanya from that, the forest of Nimi, which is the chakra where Lord Brahma's Manomaya chakra lands. And it's considered that when it struck the earth, water started to spring out from that spot. So there's a huge well there, which is known as Chakratirtha. Chakratirtha. So if you go to that place, you'll find Chakratirtha as well, which is there. And then finally, from there, you'll find also that the Puranas speak about this Chakratirtha, this tank, or this wheel which is there as the center of the universe. So the calculation of Vedic astrology, other things are taken from that, that this is the center of the universe. So that might be of interest to Radha Mohan, who's been writing all of these articles on astronomy and so on. And the sweet water which comes from this well, it said that obviously it goes all the way down to the Kojal Ocean, but of course, So the British, when they were there, they tried to disprove it. They said, this well cannot be deep. So then they started putting cable in to measure it. And they went as far as 100 meters. And then they gave up because they ran out of cable, because they'd never seen anything deeper. So they have no idea how deep it was. Naimasharanya is also a place where Swayambhu Manu and Satarupa, they come and they perform austerities here. That's Naimasharanya as well. The pastime of the sage Dadichi, remember that? And he gives the bones to the devatas for killing the demon. So this happens, the giving of the bones happens here at Naimasharanya. And Lord Ram, he comes to Naimasharanya as well to perform the Ashwamedha Yajna after killing Ravana. And it's also considered that it is the place where Mother Sita disappears into the earth at Naimasharanya as well. So these are some of the significances of Naimisharanya, which is mentioned in today's verse. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada ki.